Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed. Today we begin Parak Rabbi Eliezer Demila, the 19th Parak of Masech Shabbos. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored as Chusru for Shlema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by the Levitin family to express Akar Satov for our Daf Yomi Shir and to express Akar Satov to the Ribono Shalolam on the forthcoming marriage of Malka and Josh. And it's also sponsored anonymously for the Refu Shalema of Shira Chana Bas Chaya Asna. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorships. As we mentioned, we're going to begin Parak Rabbi Eliezer Demila, which is all about Mila, and particularly Mila on Shabbos. And the first Mishnah is going to discuss the Machlokas about whether Machshirei Mila may be done on Shabbos. The preparatory work for Mila can also be done on Shabbos, just like Mila itself could be done on Shabbos. And the Mishnah is going to mention that if you hold, you're allowed to carry the knife, you should do so in an overt, clear way that everyone can see that you're carrying it. You should do it Megula. So the Gemara is going to discuss, why would you be Makbid to Dafka do it Megula? Then the Gemara is going to talk about how sometimes you have a shita, like doing Machshirei Mila on Shabbos, which doesn't seem to be widely accepted, but nevertheless, the people who live in those places where the Rabbanim held that way are certainly in the right to follow the shita of their Rabbanim, and they're rewarded for doing so. Then we're going to discuss our attitude toward Mila, historically what our attitude has been toward Mila, and the schar that we have for that, and we're going to discuss bringing the knife through different reshuyos on the way to the Bris Mila. And then the last sugya on the daf is going to discuss, if you have a mavoi that does not have a shitufei mavuos, can you carry within that mavoi? Certainly you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer to another chatzer within the mavoi, but what about just in the mavoi itself? Can you carry more than dalet amos within the mavoi itself? Is that considered like a single rishos hayachid? So let's begin the beginning of the parak at the Mishnah on the top of the page, Kuf Lamed Amid Aleph. So says this parak is going to, as we said, it's going to discuss Mila on Shabbos, which Mila is Docha Shabbos, when a Mila is not Docha Shabbos, all the Malachos that you could do Lutzarche Mila, which ones of those are Docha Shabbos, which ones are not Docha Shabbos, but the clear understanding and the premise of the entire parak is that Mila itself is Docha Shabbos, that and the Rabbanan never made a gzeira not to do Mila on Shabbos. That's what the Taz writes in Shulchan Aruch in three different places, that there are times where the Rabbanan are not able to make a gzeira, because that which is Mefurash Bekra, that which is explicit in the Pasuk, is beyond the purview of the Chachamim, it's beyond the rights of the Chachamim to make a gzeira against. And Mila being done on Shabbos is something that's Mefurash Bekra, or it's viewed as being Mefurash Bekra, and therefore the Chacham never could have made a gzeira not to do Mila on Shabbos. That's why the Prima Gadim is Psicha Kalalos, when he lists the different Madregos of Dinim Daraisa, he lists that which is Mefurash Bekra as a higher level than Daraisa than that which is derived from the Yigum Midashatar and Drash Spen. Because after all, the Taz points out that the Rabbanan are allowed to make a Gezerah not to do a Mitzvah Daraisa as long as it's not Mefurash Bekra. But when it's Mefurash Bekra, the Rabbanan are not allowed to make such a Gezerah. So it must be that it's a stronger type of Din Daraisa. So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Loi Vikli Merav Shabbos, if you didn't bring the knife for the Mila from Erev Shabbos, Meviyu B'Shabbos, so you can bring it on Shabbos, Megula. But you should do so in a way that you're not hiding anything, where it's exposed that you bring the knife. U'B'Sakana, and at a time of Sakana, where the Goyim were Gozer, that we're not allowed to do Mila, B'Chaseu El Pi Eidim, then you can cover the knife, but do so in front of Eidim, so that they could later testify that you weren't just Tam carrying a package on Shabbos, that it was a Mila, it was a knife for Mila. V'Odam Rabbi Eliezer, course made some lasos pcham and lasos barzel, that you're even allowed to chop the wood in order to make the coals, in order to make the iron that makes the knife, in order to do the Mila on Shabbos. You're allowed to do all the machshirei Mila, all the preparatory steps for Mila on Shabbos. Frek Tosos over here in Dibur Maskel Rebbe, the first Tosos in the parak, why does Rabbi Lazar allow carrying the knife from a Roshus to another Roshus to violate an Issur Torah? Can't you just bring the baby to the knife? Why do you have to bring the knife through different Roshuyos? Just bring the baby to the knife. Bringing a baby, Hachai no Seas Atzmo, bringing a baby is only an Issur Rabbanan. To bring the knife would be a violation of an Issur Da'oraisa. So Tosos suggests that since after the Mila you're going to have to bring the baby back to its mother, and once the Mila is done, the baby is already a Cholos, so the baby is considered kafus, he's considered to be tied down, where we no longer have the principle of achaynoseas hatzmo, and at that point you're going to be in violation of an issur daraisa. So since anyway you're going to have to violate hotzah midaraisa after the milah, why would you violate hotzah darabar now and then hotzah daraisa later if you could just bring the knife and violate hotzah daraisa just one time? That's what the Tosos suggests at first. The Rashba and the Ritva ask on that Teretz of Tosos that since before the milah the baby is healthy and he's not considered to be kafos at that time, and it's only nisa darabar at that time, it's still not mistaver, they say, to be mechal Shabbos with an issur daraisa at a time when you have an option to be mechal Shabbos with only an issur drabanan. That which happens afterwards, yeah, he's a chalash yesh b'sakana afterwards. Afterwards, it's pikach nefesh. Afterwards, you can go and bring the baby and do whatever you want. But right now, in the here and now, the greater, the better option, l'chora, should have been to bring the baby rather than to bring the knife. This is maybe part of a larger machlokas about how much we have to look toward the future when making these halachic decisions. Do you look at what things are right now, or do you look at where it's going to lead to? Meaning, do you want to create a situation where you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos on Daraisa level, where Tosos is more mindful of where it's going to lead to, and the Rashba and the Ritva say, you don't look at that, you look at where everything is at the moment in the here and now. Then the Rashba and the Ritva suggest a different answer. They say that maybe such a tiny baby, he's only 1 week old, maybe he's always considered kafus. Maybe we never say Hachayno Seas Atzmo by such a tiny baby, and therefore it would be an issur daraisa even to carry the baby to the milah. So the better option is going to be to carry the knife to the milah rather than to carry the baby to where the knife is. This may chappen afkamina in terms of passing a baby when a woman is in nida. The halach is that you're not allowed to pass miyad liyad, that a husband is not allowed to pass something to his wife, nor she to him, while she is in nida. But the Pischei Tshuva quotes Poskin that a chay no seyas atzmo, you're allowed to pass a baby because he's a living being and he's no seyas atzmo. So maybe that's only true if the baby's a little bit older, where he's able to shift his weight a little bit. But maybe when the baby is a tinok, when the baby is mamish a newborn, he's a week old, maybe we do not apply the principle of achay no seyas atzmo. Seems to be machlokes rishonim whether we apply the principle of achay no seyas atzmo when someone is so young. But the pashtus is in Hilchas Nida, it's really a different din. Achay no seyas atzmo is only a borrowed term over there. Over there, the Rashba writes, the reason you're not allowed to pass is a chashash negia, that there's a chashash that can come to touch each other. So if there's a chashash negia, if that's the reason for the Yisra over there, it's not about carrying it, are you carrying? It's just a practical chashash that you might come to touch. Well, then certainly you're not allowed to pass an infant, because an infant, there's definitely a chashash negia. You have to cradle the head and you have to support. So anytime you pass an infant, of course there's going to be some touching. Then Tos suggests another possible teretz, and he says, you know, it's much easier to carry the knife than to carry the baby. To transport a new baby is a whole asek. You know, you have to make sure he's got the right clothing on, and the car seat is put in correct. Well, I guess they weren't using a car seat, but it's a whole asek to move a baby. It's not just like you go and you just schlep the baby along. So it's much easier to carry the knife, and much quicker to carry the knife than to carry the baby, and better to violate Nisr Daraisa of carrying the knife rather than Nisr Darabon of carrying the baby if you're going to be able to do the mitzvah more quickly. And the raya that Tos brings is the Gemara tells us, and we're going to see today, that once they forgot to bring the knife to where the baby was, and they brought it derech Rishuyos Darabonan, and Rabbi Eliezer was unhappy that they brought it through Rishuyos Darabonan. Better to bring it straight through Rosh Hashrabim. Why? If they had the option of bringing it through Rishuyos Darabonan, why is it better to bring it straight through Rosh Hashrabim? Oh, must be that even though it's that you have a derech haheter, it's better to do that which is more quick, and that which will show a greater excitement to do the mitzvah more immediately. Weiter in the Mishnah, klal amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has a klal that disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. Any malacha involved in the preparation of the milah that you could have done on Erev Shabbos, you must have done on Erev Shabbos and cannot do it on Shabbos. If there is no way to do it on Erev Shabbos and needs to be done on Shabbos, only such malachos are in fact docha Shabbos. Okay, so says the Gemara, Yiboyelhu. Time at Rabbi Elazar Mishum Chibuve Mitzvah Omish Odom Mishum Chashada. When Rabbi Elazar says that when you bring the knife to the baby, you should bring it Pagaloi, it should be exposed, everyone should be able to see the knife. Is that because you want to show Chib of Mitzvah, that you're so excited to do the Mitzvah? Or is it because you don't want anyone to be Choshed that you're violating an Aveira? So to avoid Chashad, to fulfill the Mitzvah of the Yisim Nikiyim, Hashem, the Yisrael, to make sure that no one is choshed you You want to make sure that everyone can recognize right away that you're bringing the equipment that's necessary for the mitzvah's milah. So it says in one of the Mai Nafka Mina, what difference does it make why the halacha is that you should bring it bagaloi? The Nafka Mina is, in the case that it's not a shas hasakana, is it just as viable an option to bring it covered up and just have edim there for you? If it's about showing your great love for the mitzvah megula in mechusalo, then you can only bring it exposed. You cannot bring it covered up, because covering it up takes away the chib of mitzvah. Eliyam mishum chashada, then afil mechusa shaper dami. But if it's about chashad, then even mechusa is fine, as long as you have edim that can later testify for you that you're doing nothing wrong. So my, what's the din in terms of what's the reason for bringing it dafka megula? Chashad is a little bit different than maris ha'ayin. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, in a couple of tshuvas actually, that chashad is that someone is going to see you doing something and they're going to automatically assume that you're doing an avera. Maris ha'ayin is that someone's going to see you doing something and they're going to think that something that's really usser is mutter, because after all, you, a great tzaddik, are doing such an action. You go into a restaurant that has a questionable ashkacha, they'll say, well, that's a very religious Jew, and therefore it must be that that's a very kosher restaurant, and therefore they're going to come to rely on that ashkacha. So that would be maris ha'ayin. Chashad is when someone's going to look at you and say, oh, I know that activity is usser, so that person is violating an issur d'oraisa, so that person is doing something terrible. So everyone knows that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. They're going to see you carrying some sort of unidentified bundle on Shabbos without it being obvious that it's a knife or a bris milah. That's going to be an issue of chashad. So the question is the reason they have to do it megula to avoid that chashad, or is the reason because of chibuv mitzvah? So Itmar says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Levi lo Amar Rabbi Eliezer el chabuve mitzvah. Tani na miyachim uviyim megula veimuviyim mechusa. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer's motivation over here is chibuv mitzvah, and the raya is that Rabbi Eliezer dafka says do not bring it mechusa, meaning even if you have an eitzah how to avoid chashad, even if you have edim to be there for you, do not bring it covered up. Amar Rav Ashi Masnisanami Deka, we have a further raya from the Mishnah, because the Ketani, it says in the Mishnah, b'shas hasakana mechaseu al pi edim. You know when you can cover it up and have edim there to testify for you that that it was a mila knife that you were carrying, b'shas hasakana b'sakana in shalom b'sakana lo. Apparently only when it's shas hasakana, but not when it's not a shas hasakana. Shema mina mishum chibuv mitzvah shema mina. So you see from there that it's all about showing love for the mitzvah, expressing your excitement in doing the mitzvah. The Ritva explains that the seifa that says b'shas hasakana mechaseu al pi edim is clearly there to be medayek that when there's no sakana, you're not allowed to cover it up, even al pi edim, because otherwise the seifa is not really adding anything. Meaning, isn't it pashut that you cover it up and you know you're not and if it's shas sakana and they make gzeros against Klal Yisrael, of course you're not moser nefesh, you don't have to die for that. Of course the eitza would be to cover it up. Furthermore, he says if bringing the sak in shalom b'makom sakana when it's exposed is a rishus and not a chova, then it's pashut that b'shas sakana you can cover it up. Meaning, if even shalom b'shas sakana you can cover it up al pi edim, so what's a chiddush that b'shas sakana you can cover it up al pi edim? That's something you can normally do. So of course you should choose that option when it's shas sakana. Elamai, the whole chiddush of the seifa is that when it's shalom b'shas sakana, you're not allowed to cover it up. When it's shalom b'shas sakana, you have to do it loud and proud. You bring the knife of the mila. You let everyone see that that's what you're doing. So tanya idach, we have another brisa that tells us meviu megula vein meviu mechusa divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer no ganoi b'shas sakana shem meviu mechusa al pi eden. That generally you bring it megula and not mechusa. Again, another raya and Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that b'shas sakana the minhag was that they would have eden to be there to watch that you were covering up the mila knife. So ibayalu edim to kamar iu v'chad odilma hu v'trei. When we say edim, do we mean two other edim aside from yourself, or can you be one of these edim? You just need someone else to know what's going on. So Tashma says we'll bring a raya. Ubisakana mechaseu al pi Eidim. Ian Bishlama Hu Utre Shapir. If you say it's him plus two other people, outsiders, who are the Eidim, so I understand very well that those are called Eidim. Eli Iam Rithu V'chad, but if it's only one other guy, my Eidim, why does it say Eidim? The guy who's bringing it can't be made a lot, the person is apostle to be made about himself. Doesn't even have a shame aid about himself. About himself, it's not even a shame aid puzzle. Otherwise, that's what the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Makos points out, that if he had a din of a shame aid puzzle, then every aidus would be nimsech and meam kar of a puzzle, because the guy who was there, the guy who did the crime, or who was the guy who was involved, is a puzzle of aid. So you'd always have every kat of aidim, or would always have nimsech and meam kar of a puzzle. Elamite, that person doesn't have a shame aid at all. He's the baldover. That's different than an aid. So how could you say aidim if you're talking about the baldover himself? You're talking about the guy himself. So it says, when we say aidim, we mean a group of two people who in some other context would be kosher as aidim, would be able to serve as aidim. And the reason you cover the knife in front of that one guy is just to take care of the concern that people are going to think that you're being mechal Shabbos. And that's similar to other eduyos where you're made on something that was already done. And the Tana calls them both aidim because these two guys are kosher for eidos elsewhere, because in situations where they would not be a baldover, in situations where they would not be nogeya bedover. The Chasam Sofer explains that when a person brings the knife, when it's mechusa, with another guy that sees how he covered it, there's no makom for chashad anymore, because if a person would be choshed that he was carrying something else and not in izem alamila, so we'd be choshed, then you'd have to be choshed of both of these guys, because the assumption is the other fellow is not just watching you package the knife, he's actually walking with you. He's accompanying you. So you'd have to be choshesh that the person who's carrying the object is violating hotzah midaraisa, and the other guy is allowing you to do so. So he's also a rasha. And we never find that there's chashad against two people. Chashad against one person, yes, but chashad against two people, there's no chashad. And therefore, says Chasam Sofer, the point is not really about edus bechlal. He's never testifying. He's not going to come back and say, oh, I saw. No, it will avoid the entire situation on chashad to begin with, because there's never a chashad when there are two people that are doing something wrong. And therefore, says Chasam Sofer, it should turn out an isha, a karov can be this aid. It doesn't need to be an aid, because it doesn't have to be someone who's going to testify. It just has to take away the concern of chashad, and just another religious human being, an Orthodox Jew, would work. So nashim are kasher, krovim are kasher, and based on that, he says I could answer the kasha of the shoshanim ledavid. The shoshanim ledavid points us back to the Gemara in the second parak of this Masechta, where the Gemara had said in Daf Chav Gimel, when it comes to lighting their Chanukah, that a chatzah that has two psachim, that has two entrances, two doorways, you have to light by both of them, because if you don't light by both of them, then there's going to be chashad. People will think that you only lit by one, that you didn't light at all. And we never find anywhere that it helps to just light by one of the doorways and just have another guy there with you that watches you light, and then you'll have him to be made for you. That just like over here where we're saying that apparently having another person with you. So why by the Zemel does it help to have another person with you, asks the Shoshanim Ledavid, and yet by the Ner Chanukah it doesn't help to have another person with you. So says Chasam Sofer, according to what I'm saying, it works out very well that two people going in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, when one of them is holding an object, that takes away the beginnings of any chashad. It's not that there's later going to be an explanation. It's that there never is chashad to start with. But by the Ner Chanukah, you can't control who's going to walk past your house and who's going to think what. Yes, you may be able to justify it later, but you're still going to have gotten to the point of chashad in the first place. That is all against the Rashash. The Rashash writes from the Lashon of the Gemara that the Gemara says that these are people that are ru'uyim to be made b'makom acher. It sounds like it can't be an isha, it can't be a karov. It has to be you and another person who you could theoretically testify with on dinei momenus or dinei nefashos cases. So it needs to be two kasher edim. It can't be a ganav, a gazlan. It can't be someone who's not varyan. It's got to be mamish two kasher edim in order for this to work. Okay, says the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar said you could even do the machshirei mila. on Shabbos. You're even allowed to do the preparatory work for the bris milah on Shabbos. Tan Rabban b'mkomish al Rabbi Eliezer, how you korsumate him, lasos p'chamin, lasos barzel b'shabbos. In Rabbi Eliezer's town, they used to chop the wood in order to make the charcoal, in order to make the iron on Shabbos. B'mkomish Rabbi Yosei Aglili, yoyochlin basar of b'chalav. And where Rabbi Yosei Aglili lived, they used to eat chicken together with chalav, together with milk, not just on Shabbos, throughout the week, because there's a mission in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, where we have a machlokas tanaim about eating basar of that's cooked together with chalav. Rabbi Akiva holds that min haTorah it's mutter to eat basar of that's cooked together with chalav, but it's asur midrabbanan to do so. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds not even an isur drabbanan, that it's mamish mutter. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva that midrabbanan it's asur. The Balei HaTosfos understand, and it's certainly mashma this way in the beginning of Perek Kol HaBasar, that there's a third shita, that there's a shita of the chachamim that it's an isur d'oraisa to eat basar of with chalav, to eat poultry together with chalav. So that's when they're cooked together. So three basic shitos in Tanaim, but there is this shita that it's heter gomor, that it's entirely permissible to have basar of b'chalav. This is a daf yomi coincidence for me, because I'm learning basar b'chalav here in Camp Keli this summer, so but not for anybody else. So basar of b'chalav. And in Rabbi Yossi Aglili's town, they would actually do that. Says Gemara's story, Levi Yikla Lebe Yosef Rishba. Levi went to the house of Yosef Rishba. He was a bird trapper. Krivele Reshut de Tavsa b'chalav. They brought him some poultry with chalav. Lo achal, he didn't eat it. Kiyosel kamei the Rebbe, when the Levi came to Rebbe, Amalei amaylo tishamtinu, why didn't you put them in cherem that they're eating basar of and chalav? What a terrible thing. Amalei asrid Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira hava. That's the town where Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira is the Marada Asra. V'amina dilma darish luk Rabbi Yosef Aglili. And I thought maybe he paskins like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Ditanan Rabbi Yosef Aglili omer nemer lo sochul kol nevela. Pasuk says, now let eat any nevela. V'nemer, and the end of that very same pasuk says, lo savashal v'diba chalevi mo. So apparently there's a hekesh to be made between the Yisr nevela and the Yisr basar b'chalav. Esha asr mishum nevela, asr mishum basar b'chalav. Only the kind of meat that's asr mishum nevela is asr mishum basar b'chalav. But ov, sha asr mishum nevela, yachli asr levashal b'chalav. And therefore I might think that ov, which is asr mishum nevela, is also included in the Yisr d'oraisa basar b'chalav. Tam lomer, b'chalevi mo, yata ov, sha in lo chalav eim. That it, since it says, l'svashli b'chalevi mo, it has to be a mammal, it has to be something that has chalav eim, that's mother has milk. An oaf, the mother does not have any milk, and therefore it's excluded from the iser of basar b'chalav. So Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira mistama held like the shita of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that it's heter gomer to have basar oaf b'chalav, and therefore I'm not going to put someone in cherem for following that shita. Not only do we not put them in cherem, says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yitzchak Yerachas Hoisberet Sol Shoyos and Rabbi Eliezer. There was a city that used to do like Rabbi Eliezer, where they would do all of the machshirei milah on Shabbos. And you know what? Vayumesim bizmanam. They all lived to a ripe old age. They died in a timely way. They didn't die early. Velo od el shapam achas gazra machas harashad gzeira al Yisrael al milah val osi ir lo gazra. And when there were gzeiros against the Jewish people doing bris milah, that city was spared from such a gzeira because they were so careful about the mitzvah of milah. Yeah, but it was chil Shabbos. No, for them it was not considered to be chil Shabbos because they were following the psak of their rav. The Ritva points out in the name of the Ravid that this must have been at a time where the halacha was not yet psuka against Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore those who were following Rabbi Eliezer had every right to do so. Meaning at some point something becomes accepted psak, it becomes halacha psuka, and once something becomes halacha psuka, then you have to accept the halacha psuka. But so long as it's not yet halacha psuka, you follow the psak of your rav, even afilu amil chal yamin shu smol, val smol shu yamin, even if he tells you what seems to you to be your right hand, that it's really your left hand. It doesn't seem to make logical sense to you. Nevertheless, that's the pasuk of Lo Sasser. That even al yamin shu smol val smol shehu yamin. It doesn't mean even if they're wrong, right? It doesn't mean that. Rav Schachter often points out that that's a misunderstanding, that people think that even if they're absolutely wrong. No, it means that they're entitled to opinion and they're right within elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. It just seems to you to be off the wall. It seems to you to be so unusual and so strange. Then you have to tell. But if you know that they're wrong, well, we have all masechta about that with Masechta Arios. Sometimes you make a mistake. if they made a mistake, you're not supposed to follow the mistakes in terms of Piskei Halacha. That's what Rav Shech said. There used to be a professor in YU who wrote the K Mutiny, and he said that it was based on this halacha, that Afilu Alimin Shu Smal, but it was based on a misunderstanding of this halacha, that Alimin Shu Smal doesn't mean that that if it's wrong and we just need seder, so we just have to follow orders even when they're wrong. That is that's not true. The Marsha explains that the fact that they were mesu bismana was a mida keneged mida, because they were medactic to do mila bismana, to make sure that the mila happens exactly on time. So since they were so careful about mila bismana, even if it involves doing all those hechsher mitzvahs before on Shabbos itself, so that's why they were mesu bismanim. Rav Moshe quotes this gemara in the Hakdama to Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe points out that the gemara Maseches Menachos tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Kodesh Baruch Hu putting crowns on tops of the letters, and he says, Ribbono Shel Mi Ma'akev Al Yadcha. So Rav Moshe says, why crowns on top of letters? And what does it mean, Mi Ma'akev Al Yadcha? And then he shows him Rabbi Akiva, and how Rabbi Akiva was Dorish Tile Tilim Shel Alachos from these crowns. So Rav Moshe points out that it's crowns dafka, because crowns imply that something is king. King means totally independent, doesn't have to answer to anybody. You might think if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah has to answer to Hashem. That there is a specific Ratzon Hashem, there's a specific tzivoy of this is the halacha, and that's what you have to find, you have to discover that one halacha. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm putting crowns on these letters. These letters are the king, they are totally independent. And wherever these letters lead you, that's the halacha. Whatever these letters tell you, that's the halacha. So even if you have different opinions, and there's no one shita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that makes the entire experience of Talmud Torah a more enriching experience. And then Rav Moshe says, you see, this Gemara, that they were rewarded for following the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because that's part of Elu Ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's because the letters of the Torah are the king. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Amar, Kol Mitzvah Shekibul Aleihem B'Simcha, Kigon Mila, D'Ksiv, Sasa Anochi Elam Rusecha, K'motzi Shal Rav. Any mitzvah the Jewish people accepted with Simcha, Adayin Osan Osa B'Simcha, we still do it with Simcha. V'Kol Mitzvah Shekibul Aleihem B'Ktata, Kigon Arayos, and any mitzvah that we accepted only with fighting, like Arayos, D'Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, V'yishma Moshe Esa'am, V'yishma Moshe Esa'am, Bocha L'mishbechosav, that the people were crying, L'mishbechosav. What does that mean? Al iske mishbechosav, because they were told that there's an isra arayos, said that they're not allowed to marry their relatives. So we still, whenever there's a wedding, there's always fights. It's always complicated in terms of planning a wedding, and this side doesn't get along with that side. I often tell my chassanim, everyone is going to tell you that your in-laws are the nicest people in the whole world, and that they're such wonderful people. And sometimes you just won't see it. You're just not going to get it. I say, over time you'll develop a relationship, then you'll really see it. But at the beginning, when there's arguments going on back and forth, you might not see it, but that's part of the gezera, that's the way it was supposed to work, that it's gonna, that everything is b'katata, deleka ksuba, delo rama batikra, there's no ksuba where there's no sort of fight in the preparation of the ksuba. The Gra has a beautiful comment in the Biurei HaGra ala Shas. He writes, adayin, the Lashon adayin over here, that we still do it, implies that it shouldn't be anymore, that there should shouldn't be such simcha at mila anymore, and there shouldn't be such katata at a ksuba anymore. And he explains as follows. He says, even though why is there such simcha at a mila? The Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis tells us that the reason the Torah makes mila bishmini is so that the woman has time to become tahora. That after giving birth to a baby boy, the Paskin Parsh Tazria tells us that she's tameh for 7 days. So you wait till her tumah goes away, because you don't want to have everyone else celebrating and the father and the mother have a little bit of sadness that they're not able to be together. So you wait till she's tahora. Oh yeah, but nowadays we have Chumad Rabbi Zeira, that Afil Rose Tibetam Kachadu Yashasla Shivanakim, a woman is always going to require Shivanakim. She's never tahora by the time the Bris Mila happens. So you might think the whole reason for the Simcha doesn't apply anymore, that there's still something weighing down on them at the time of the Bris Mila. And still it's Adayin we're Mekayim at the Simcha. We still fulfill the Simcha. And by our writers as well, after the Chum were Mevatel the Yetzer Harav, for arayos, like the Gemara in Yuma says that they shechted the Yetzer Hara, or originally they wanted to shecht the Yetzer Hara for arayos, but they blinded the Yetzer Hara for arayos. They shechted the Yetzer Hara for avodah zarah, but they blinded the Yetzer Hara for arayos, and therefore we don't have and no one has a desire for the arayos for those relatives that are usher to you. So you might think there's no reason for katat anymore, but still it's built into the nature of how it works that mila comes with simcha because that's its history, and marriage comes with katata because that's its history. That's why one of the reasons that the Achronim explain why Chassan fasts on the day of the wedding. The Rama writes such a minute, Chassan should fast on the day of the wedding is to daven that there shouldn't be katata, that there shouldn't be a fight that will hold things up. Some of the Achronim say, so why don't the parents also fight? Because that's usually why don't they also fast? Those are usually the people who fight. So some of the Achronim suggest, because when people are fasting, they're more irritable. It's going to cause more fighting. It's not going to cause less fighting. The Chassan should sit there in the corner praying and fasting, that the parents and in-laws shouldn't fight too much, and the parents and in-laws should eat to their heart's content and be happy. Tani Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Chal mitzvah shemasu Yisrael atzman aleim lemisa b'shas gzeres ha-malchus, any mitzvah that Chal Yisrael is mosu nefesh on at a time of gzeres ha-malchus, kon avod z'chav m'mila, like avod z'ara and mila, adai ni mukhsek z'biyadam, we're still strong in such mitzvahs. Chal mitzvah shemasu Yisrael atzman aleim lemisa b'shas gzeres ha-malchus, and whatever we didn't give up our lives for at times of gzeres ha-malchus, kon tefillin, adai ni merupa b'yadam, like tefillin, then those mitzvahs are weak to us. Dam Rabbi Yanai, tefillin tzrichim guf naki ke'elisha bal kanafayim. Tefillin require a guf naki, a clean body, like Elisha Balkanafayim. Mayhi, so what's a guf naki? Amr Rabbi Shloya Fiachbem. A person shouldn't pass gas when he's wearing tefillin. Rava Amr Shloyishanbem means shouldn't even sleep in the tefillin, because when one is sleeping, they are likely to pass gas in the tefillin. But my karlu Elisha Balkanafayim, how did this fellow earn the title Elisha Balkanafayim? So this is a Gemara that appears in several places in Shas. Shepa Machas Gaza Malchus Horshag, Zeral Yisrael Shkol Niech Tefillin Al Rosho, Yikru. Yikruas Mocho, they once made a gzera that anyone who puts tefillin on their head, that they're going to get their skull they're going to get stabbed in their brain. Ve'elisha meniach tefillin v'yatzal l'shuk, and Elisha put on tefillin and went out in public. V'ro kastor echad, and a certain officer saw him, so ratz milfanav, he ran away. V'ratz achrov, and the kastor chased after him. Kivin shegia etzlo netalan me'rosho v'achazim b'yado. Once the guy caught up to him, he quickly grabbed them off his head and held them in his hands. So Amalov, the kastor said, ma b'yadcha, what's that in your hand? Amalov, kan feyona, oh, it's just a dove that I'm carrying around. Pasha tesyado v'nimtzu ba kan feyona. And then he opened up his hand, and miracle of miracles, Kodesh Baruch Hu made an ace, that in fact was kan feyona, and a dove flew away. The v'chachay yukorin also bal kanafayim. And that's how he earned the name, Elisha bal kanafayim. So from there we see that the people who were not so careful about tefillin begufnaki, like Elisha, and Elisha was the yachid bedoro, who was Moshe Nefesh for the kiyum mitzvah tefillin. Otherwise it wouldn't be a story. If everyone was doing it, it wouldn't be a story. So apparently tefillin is not a mitzvah that people were Moshe Nefesh on. That's how Rashi explains. Tosus over quotes Rashbam that says the opposite, that Elisha was not so Moshe Nefesh for the tefillin, because if he would have been Moshe Nefesh when he was asked, what's that in your hand? He would have said, tefillin, because I'm willing to be Moshe Nefesh for tefillin. But by the fact that he denied it, and he said, it's kan feyona, so you see that he wasn't really Moshe Nefesh. The Maram asks on Tosus, why didn't Tosus say even better, that the fact that he ran away in the first place, and that he took him off his head, that shows that he wasn't Moshe Nefesh. So the Maram has an answer to that question. Anyway, this is the famous story of Elisha Bal Kanafayim. I don't know where, you know, he was out of pair of tefillin then. He probably had to go find himself a new pair of tefillin after that. It turned into a dove, but it saved his life at least. So Maishna kan feyona da'amalei v'lamalei shar ofos. And why dafka kan feyona? Of all the birds to choose, why did he choose kan feyona as the bird to claim that he was carrying? Yishum tadami knesset shal liyona, because the Jewish people are like a yona. Shnemar kan feyona nechba b'kas v'evroseha b'yirak rak charutz. Ma yona zu knofa meginos aleha af yisrael mitzvos meginos aleyan. Just like a yona, its wings protected, so to the Jewish people, our mitzvos protect us, and our tefillin protects us. Amr Rabbi Bar Ada, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Pamach HaShachu B'lo V'viu Yizemel Me'erev Shabbos V'viu B'Shabbos Derech Kagos V'Derech Hatzeros. One time they forgot to bring the Mila knife in Erev Shabbos, so they brought it through different Roshios, Shalom Ritzon Rabbi Eliezer. And that was against what Rabbi Eliezer would have wanted. So Mask, Rabbi Yosef, Shlob Ritzon, Rabbi Eliezer, Adrabi, Rabbi Eliezer, Udushari. What do you mean? Rabbi Eliezer allows even bring it through Rosh Hashanah. Why would he have a problem with bringing it Derech Chatzeros? The Chitema, maybe you're going to tell me, no, what it means is Shlob Ritzon, Rabbi Eliezer, Dushari, Afil Rosh Hashanah, that it was against the Ritzon, Rabbi Eliezer, who would have told you, don't even bother bringing it Derech Chatzeros, just bring it straight into the Rosh Hashanah. Ella Birtzon Rabbanon, the Asu Derech Rosh Hashanah, Visharu Derech Agos, Viderech Chatzeros, Vikarpifos. And this aligned with the Shita of the Rabbanon, who say you're not allowed to bring it in Rosh Hashanah, but you may bring it through Gagos, Chatzeros, and Karpifos. Well, Mishari, is that true? Do the Rabbanon allow bringing it through Gagos, Chatzeros, and Karpifos? Vatanya, Kshem, Shein, Mavinos, Loderech Rosh Hashanah, Kachain, Mavinos, Loderech Gagos, Loderech Karpifos, Loderech Chatzeros. But didn't we learn that the Rabbanon hold that you're not allowed to, not only you're not allowed to bring it to Rosh Hashanah, Daraisa, you're not even allowed to violate Hotzami the Rabbanon without an air of Chatzeros to bring the knife for the Mila. So it doesn't make sense to say that it's Shalom Beritzon Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer would be perfectly fine even bringing it to Rosh Hashanah, implying that it is Beritzon Chachamim. No, this doesn't satisfy the Chacham either. Ela Amar Rav Ashi Shalom Beritzon Rabbi Eliezer Umachlukto. It means you're satisfying nobody. Rabbi Eliezer would have told you to bring it directly to the Rosh Hashanah, and the Rabbanon would have told you not to even bring it there, Chatzeros, Gagos, and Karpifos. Ela Beritzon Rabbi Shimon. It satisfies neither Rabbi Eliezer nor his bar plukta, the Rabbanan. Who does it satisfy? The sheet of Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds that even a dvar rishus, even for the sake of a dvar rishus, you're allowed to bring something through these types of rishuyos. Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us in Erevin, Rabbi Shimon Omer, echad gagos, ve'echad karpifos, ve'echad chatzeros, kulon rishus echadein. They're all considered a single rishus, even if they belong to different people. Lekelim shashafsu betochan, legabe kelim that were in these places when Shabbos began. So you're allowed to bring kelim from one of these rishuyos to another of these rishuyos without making an erev chatzeros if these kelim were in such rishuyos when Shabbos started. But below the kelim shashavsu b'sochabayis. But if you have kelim that were in a house when Shabbos started, then you're not allowed to bring it through chatzeros and gagos and karpifos and the like. It's only for kelim that were already out in the chatzer when Shabbos started. So that's who they were satisfying by bringing it derech gagos, derech chatzeros, derech karpifos. Tosfos raised the question in the name of the Rashba. Why does the Gemara say that bringing a knife through Rishuyos Rabbanon was Shalom Beritzon Rabbi Eliezer? I would think that if even Rabbi Eliezer would be moda, that you would try to minimize the Isser, that if you're going to carry on Shabbos for the sake of the Mila, yes, you're allowed to carry in Rishuyos Rabbim, but shouldn't you try to at least minimize the Isser? The Gemara tells us, Kol Makom Shata Motzi Aseh V'Los Aseh, Mati Yochel L'Kayim Eshneim Mutav, V'im Lav Yovel Aseh V'Yitcholos Aseh. Whenever we say Aseh is Docholos Aseh, better than Aseh being Docholos Aseh is to satisfy both of them. So if you could say, you should try to satisfy as much as you can. So the Rashba suggests, well, since anyway you're going to be doing the Mila on Shabbos, so the Makshire Mila can be Docha Shabbos as well. It doesn't add anything to the Isser, which is an interesting Chiddush to suggest. But there are the other suggestions suggested by Rishonim as well. But then we have to try to finish here. So says Gemara Vayter, Baimini Rabbi Zeir Mir Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Zeir raised the following shaila from Rabbi Yasi. Mavoi, if you have a street that has mechitzos on three sides, and the fourth side is open into Rosh Hashanah, and there are chatzeros opened up into the Mavoi, shalom nishtatfu bo, where the different members of the chatzeros did not join together in a single shitufei mavuos to allow carrying from one chatzer to another through the Mavoi, ma'al letalta b'kulo, can you carry at least within the Mavoi? You're not going to go into any of the side chatzeros, you're just going to carry in the alleyway itself. So you're allowed to do that. So mi amrim kechatzer dami ma chatzer avagav delo eruv mutar letalta b'kulo. Do we say, well, it's just like a chatzer, even if you didn't make an eruv chatzeros, you're allowed to carry within the chatzer as long as you don't go into any of the houses? So hainami avagav delo nishtafu bo mutar letalta b'kulo. So maybe by the mavoi also, even though you didn't make a shetuvei mavuos, you're allowed to carry within the mavoi itself. Odil malo dami lechatzer. Maybe it's not like a chatzer. The chatzer is le arba mechitzos. Hai les le arba mechitzos. The chatzer at least has four mechitzos around it, so it's really a rishos hayachid in its fullest sense. But a mavoi doesn't have four full mechitzos. The side that opens to the rishos ram has a lechi, a kora, something like that, but not a real bona fide mechitza. Inami chatzer sledurin, or you could say the chatzer has people who live there and are constantly doing things in the chatzer, living like things in the chatzer. So if you allow being metalt in the chatzer, they're not going to come to make a mistake and also be metalt in the carmelis. It's used entirely differently. No one would confuse the two for each other. Whereas a high lesbe diurin, a mavoi, looks a lot more like a carmelis, is a lot more like a rishus that you're not allowed to be metaltal in. So maybe people will make such a mistake. So shasik lamle lomidi. To this shayla, Rabbi Yassi didn't answer at all. He just didn't say anything. Zimnin ashkeche diyasav ka'amar. And another time, Rabbi Zera found that Rabbi Yassi was sitting and he was saying that Amr Rabbi Shemalach Shem Rabbi Yudah Anasi, Pamach HaShachu V'lo Eviyu Zemim Erev Shabbos. One time they forgot to bring the Yizmael on Erev Shabbos, V'Eviyu B'Shabbos, and they brought the Mila knife, the Yizmael, on Shabbos. V'Yadover Kasha L'Chamim, and the Chachamim were not, this was not understandable to the Chachamim. Heich Menich and Divrei Chacham V'Olsin Krabi Eliezer. How could they set aside the Shita of the Chacham that say that you're not allowed to bring the Yizmael on Shabbos, even not through Rishu Yisrael Rabbanan, and follow the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer that allows bringing it? So Chada the Rabbi Eliezer Shemutehu. And the reason it's so strange to follow the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is, first of all, Rabbi Eliezer Shemutehu. Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherim. That's one day in Rashi. The other day in Rashi, and the only day in Tosfos, is that Rabbi Eliezer was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai. The Rishonim point out, the Rashi and the Ritva point out, it's strange to start speaking ill of Rabbi Eliezer. So more likely that he was from Talmidei Beis Shammai. Va'od Yachid V'Rabim Alacha K'Rabim. And furthermore, we follow the sheet of the Rabbim against the Yachid. So why would you follow Rabbi Eliezer? From Rabbi Shai said to the Chacham, Sheilas says Rabbi Yudah goes. I asked Rabbi Yudah the Moel, Va'amali Mavi Shlon Shtatvubo Hava Vaitu Mehai Reisha Lai Reisha. That was a Mavi that just didn't have a Shituve Mavus, and they brought it within the Mavi. So Amale Svirle the Mar. So he said to Rabbi Asi, wait, you hold Mavi Shlon Shtatvubo Mutal Taltu Blakulo? You hold that you're allowed to be Metaltu in the Mavi that didn't have a Shituv? Amale in. He said, yeah, I hold that way. Amale Vazim in Bayim in Achvalo Marti Liachi. I've asked you this shaila and you never answered that shaila. So now you're telling me that that's what you hold. So Dilma Agav Shitvach Asyalach Gamrach, maybe because you were chazring and you were just going over the Indian very quickly, so it came to mind and that's how you came to that conclusion. Sometimes when you chazr even very quickly, you have new ideas that pop into your head. I'm like, in Agav Shitvach Rihita Li Gamari. He says, yeah, because I was running through the sugya, I remembered what Rabbi Shaya said, and that's in fact the Shit of Rabbi Shaya that you're allowed to carry in such a mavoi. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Itmar. It's a good stopping point over here. Everyone should have a great day.
Sure.